201-2052.
Don't be surprised by the latest changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm glad to have you with us. And as usual, we're going to be following the money today, talking about two subjects that should interest just about everybody in the federal government. The first one is something called the Voluntary Contributions Program, the VC. It is available to a limited number of federal workers, but it's a very good deal. It's the equivalent of a government certificate of deposit that's paying a 3.125% this year compared to 1.7% for the best CD value I could find in the country. So we're going to be talking about that. And then later in the show, we'll be talking about the best date to retire. And that is an issue when it comes up at the end of the year or the first of the year. It can be a matter of thousands of dollars, in some cases tens of thousands of dollars, if you pick the right date. So the expert on both of these today is Tammy Flanagan. She is well known in the federal community, and she's with the National Institutes of Transition Planning. They conduct pre-retirement seminars all over the government. In fact, I guess all over the world. Tammy, isn't that right?
Well, every once in a while, if we're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
When you get
anyone
to Paris,
listening from the islands, please call.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah. Hawaii or Paris. I'm
exactly.
I'm also available. But yes. Listen, thank you for giving up your time today. I listened to your show Monday with Bob Lyons, your for your benefit, and you guys touched on the TSP and a variety of things, voluntary contributions. And I thought, you know, we haven't done this in a while, and although the program has been around seemingly forever, it comes as a surprise to a large number of federal workers. In fact, I got three emails from people today who said, I've been in government for a long time, never heard of it, what's it all about? So can you kind of give us a tutorial on the Voluntary Contributions Program, and then we'll get into, I've emailed you most, I think, of the questions.
Yeah, I'm still printing them out. They're finally
I mean, we've never had this much response with just dozens and dozens of calls or emails from people with questions.
Great. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing because people are looking for a good place to put money these days.
Well, right. Tell us about the Voluntary Contributions Program.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a program that's only open to the old system. So right now that only makes up about 20% of the workforce. But for that select group, this is a wonderful opportunity to do a number of things. The first thing it does, it's just simply a savings account. So if you're looking for a place to keep your money safe, to earn interest, and currently the interest rate, as you published in your column, is 3.125%. Where else are you going to find that in a safe investment? So it's a safe place to save your money. Second purpose of it, and this is the one that most people don't use, but it is one of the things you can do with it, is you can use this money that you've saved to purchase a larger civil service retirement. We can talk about that later, but that's one of the other things you can do with it. And then the third reason why people make voluntary contributions, in fact, some people do this right at retirement, is because they just want to use it as a vehicle to get money into an IRA. And normally, and we went through this on Monday with Bob Lyons, the CPA, because he's you know, all over this because of being such a great opportunity. But with IRA contributions, you're limited to $5,000 or $6,000 a year. But with voluntary contributions, you can contribute up to 10% of your total lifetime salary. So whatever you've earned in your entire federal career, if you happen to have 10% of that laying around, you can contribute that to the voluntary contribution program. And then if you want to immediately transfer it to an IRA, and right now you can transfer it directly to a Roth IRA so it can grow tax-free. And I think that third choice is what's really getting people's attention, is the fact that this is a way to fund an IRA with more than the normal limits, you know, that are normally limited to the $5,000 or $6,000 a year, by putting it into this retirement savings plan first, which is totally eligible to be transferred to a traditional or a Roth IRA. Now, as far as getting the money into it, you have to open an account. Just like you go to the bank and you open a bank account, you have to go to OPM and open a voluntary contribution account. And the way you do that is by filling out a standard form 2804. It's application to make voluntary contributions, which you can find right on OPM's website, opm.gov, or you can go to our website, nitpinc.com, nitpinc.com, and we have a whole 15-page handout that Bob Lyons put together about this program. So you can fill out the form, you wait until OPM has established the account for you, and one of the things that could stand in your way is if you already owe money to the retirement fund, if you owe redeposit because you've taken a refund of your contributions at some point in your career, or if you've ever had temporary service and you didn't pay into the retirement fund, that's called making a deposit. So if you owe any of that money already to civil service, you'd have to pay that back first before you'd be permitted to make these contributions. But then once the account's established, you can send in $25. You can send in, some people have sent in $150,000. As long as you don't exceed 10% of your lifetime salary, that's all permittable. So it's really a neat thing.
It's an incredible program. And, mm-hmm. and you do go through OPM. You have to set up an account with them. They have to approve it. And
right.
then once that happens, and a lot of people, they're confused this with the thrift savings plan, mm-hmm. which is totally different and
yeah,
it's done by a payroll deduction.
Yeah, thrift plan is payroll deduction. Thrift plan, you're contributing before tax dollars. This is something you're going to do with your after-tax money. This is money you have sitting in a savings account. This is money you inherited from Aunt Sarah. This is money that you've just been wanting to put aside. You want it to be available. You want to keep it safe. This is money after you've paid your income tax. So this is only tax-deferred interest because as the money grows, if you leave it in here a couple of years, you'll earn interest. And the interest you don't pay income tax on until you take it out. And when you do take it out, if you choose, you can transfer that taxable interest to the thrift savings plan. So it is eligible to roll into the thrift, and right on the withdrawal form, you have that option to do with the interest.
I mean, let me run through some of these questions. Some of them will be redundant with what you already said, but mm-hmm. just to get them out
okay,
of the way.
People can hear it twice.
From Donna with the Department of Energy, and she says, I've been a Fed since 1981. I've never heard of the Voluntary Contributions Program. I max out in the Thrift Savings Plan and put the additional amount for 50 and over, and I'd be very interested in putting money into the Voluntary Contributions Plan. Where do I find out how to set up an account? Thanks.
Yeah, I would say the best place is to go to our website or to the For Your Benefits site because they've also put that 15-page handout on our Monday show, link to that show on Monday, and you'll find the whole 15-page handout with what the form looks like and the number of the form. And like I said, you can get that from opm.gov. And some agencies, too, like you may have a personnel office who's never heard of this either because it's not something most employees do. And as you know, most federal employees right now are under FERS, so this is kind of a dying benefit. But for those who are eligible, it's something very attractive.
Martin Titus, who's a retired Fed in Fredericksburg, Virginia, says, are federal retirees eligible to buy CDs through the Voluntary Contributions Program? And point out here that these are not, it's not a CD as mm-hmm. such. It's similar to a CD. We call it a government version of a CD, but
right.
the answer
it's
is no.
Very similar. Yeah, it's like instead of going to the bank and buying a CD, you're going to OPM and investing in this program. So it's kind of the same type of thing, but you're not actually buying CDs from the government. You're investing in your own retirement plan.
Right. And once retired, you cannot contribute, correct?
Right, and if someone is retiring soon, like the end of October or even the end of this year, I wouldn't try to attempt to set up an account separate from your retirement. What I would do instead would be to send in the voluntary contribution form to set up the account with your retirement application so that when OPM is processing your retirement, they'll see that you want to make contributions, and before they finalize your claim, as long as you're eligible, they'll send you the information so that you can submit your payment, your deposit. And at the same time, you're going to send in your check. If your idea is to send this money to your IRA, then you're going to send in with your check the withdrawal form to take the money out. Because if you just send your check in and then OPM finalizes your retirement, they'll assume that you wanted to put the money in there to purchase additional retirement benefits rather than transferring the money to an IRA. So the last chance you have to move this money out of the voluntary plan is at retirement when your claim is being finalized during that process.
Got one from Sanjeev here, mm-hmm. and he says three questions. I have an IRA account CD at a commercial bank that just matured. Can I move those funds into the voluntary contributions plan? If so, what's the method, and can it be converted to a Roth IRA? Is this account insured? Three good questions.
Okay. Well, this is where we need Bob Lyons here.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it's an IRA account probably gives it some special rules that I'm not sure would be eligible to transfer to voluntary contributions. The one thing I will say is the only money that you can put into voluntary contributions is after-tax money. And you can't transfer money directly from a bank account directly to the voluntary contributions. The only way the money goes in here is either by writing a check, or you can do a direct deposit through the pay.gov site. OPM has that set up. You can do voluntary contributions on, if you go to the website pay.gov and click on the agency, Office of Personnel Management, and it has a link there to the OPM voluntary contribution deposit form. And I've known people to make their deposits using a credit card, and then they earn miles. So they get a free airplane trip, plus they can make contributions to their program through this automated service.
Okay. And the other thing, too, is the money, as you pointed out earlier, money in a voluntary contributions account can be rolled over into an IRA or a Roth IRA.
Yes.
And the account is insured, correct? This is U.S. Treasury securities, right?
Yeah, well, this money is backed just like they're a whole retirement fund. It's part of the U.S. Treasury, the budget, and so it's backed by the full faith of the U.S. government. It's not like FDIC. I think it's a little step higher than that.
Yes.
If this fund goes broke, we've got more to worry about.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we're all back to the caves.
Right.
Let's see here. There's just so many. I'm interested in making a contribution to the program, but I've been unable to find anyone at OPM who has even heard of the program. I had a break in service and withdrew my retirement funds. I know that in order to join this program, I need to repay those funds.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know who to contact. Why can't they tell me anything? And this is from Christy.
Yeah, it's probably the same thing. If they're emailing OPM, which is probably the easiest and maybe only way to really get in touch with OPM if you're still an employee, you're probably getting in touch with people who deal mainly with FERS employees, may not even be familiar with it themselves. So you'd have to find someone from the old school.
There's 20% of the people are eligible for it. 20% of the people are under the old CSRS or the offset system.
Right.
But you're right. If most of the people at OPM, as at other agencies, are now under FERS, so for them this is a program from the
dark ages.
Deep antiquity. Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, we're trying to resurrect
right.
it.
okay, one from Anthony here. He says, seems OPM will not let you use bank online pay programs to fund voluntary accounts. You can use their website, www.paygov, as you said. Mm-hmm. Is this a temporary situation?
Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't
be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that they would limit that. I've never tried to do it from a bank account or known anybody who has, but that doesn't surprise me. But I think the easiest way might be to go to this pay.gov site because it is set up for that purpose.
Okay. I need to take a break. I'm talking with Tammy Flanagan about the best date to retire and the voluntary contributions program. We'll be right back here on the WFED 1500 AM.
Hockey season is here. The Caps are back to work. Can you feel the excitement building? Caps fans, be at Verizon Center as the Caps take on the New York Islanders on Wednesday, October 13th, and the Boston Bruins on Tuesday, October 19th. Tickets are extremely limited, so call 202-397-SEAT or log on to WashingtonCaps.com now and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
HalfPriceDC.com. Half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Hair by Moses in White Flint Mall. Moses is an award-winning master stylist and colorist with over 28 years of experience, specializing in hair extensions, Brazilian blow outs and highlights.
India Palace Bar and Tandoor in Germantown, serving the finest Indian cuisine. And Negril Jamaican Eatery. Savor a taste of the tropics.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Please join Jim Fleisig Wednesday, October 19th at noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. A panel will focus on identity management efforts in the federal government. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, OSD, and GSA. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum, Wednesday, October 19th, 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by HP, SafeNet, and UMUC.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorbeck Insider this afternoon. You're being challenged to go green, right? Well, we're going to tap some lessons learned from Canada, which has been focused on green for several years. We're going to get insights from the director of Canada's Acquisition Strategy Directorate. And cloud computing, the challenges are evolving. Brookings has looked at some of the solutions about how to move into the cloud safely. That and more on the Dorbeck Insider, 3 to 7. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Tammy Flanagan today. She's with the National Institute of Transition Planning. They have their own show here on WFED Mondays at 10 a.m. And in fact, your show this week was the inspiration to me to plagiarize a bit and come back with this voluntary contributions program. And I should mention, too, if you want to give us a call, we'll be glad to have you. The number is 202-465-3080. That's 202-465-3080. And there are also, I understand, some people on the phone who are just listening to the show on the phone. So that's great to have you with us. Got so many good questions from people, and it's fascinating how this and the other subject we're going to deal with, the best day to retire, how many iterations and permutations this has. Here's one from Mark with the IRS, and he says, when you retire, is the withdrawal all one way or nothing? Can you put the interest in the thrift savings? Can you put the interest in the thrift savings plan and divide your contributions, taking a portion in cash and purchase an annuity with the rest? I think it's confusing TSP here with the voluntary contributions.
Yeah, TSP would allow a little more flexibility. On the withdrawal form, they give you the option, and they use the word all.
All,
says,
okay.
For the interest portion, pay all to me or to my IRA or to the TSP, and then for the contribution portion, the part that you've already paid income tax on, your options are pay all by check to me or pay all by check made payable to my IRA. So you can't split it up and take part in cash and part go into the IRA. It has to be all or nothing.
Right, and when Congress set this program up, they didn't want the then Civil Service Commission, now the Office of Personnel Management, they didn't want them to be like a local branch bank. This was a one-shot deal. You can put, as you said, up to 10% of your lifetime federal salary in the thing. You do it by outside check. You sign up just like you would at a bank. You can now pay online, as you pointed out. But they don't want you making, you can't make a withdrawal here and addition there. It's a one-shot deal. Once you withdraw money, you must be all and you can't come back. Is that right?
Right. If you're an employee and you're making contributions to this account, you can't take it out and put it back in and take it out and put it back in. So it's only a one-way ticket in. You can keep making multiple contributions throughout your career. But when the day comes and you want to take it out, it has to all come out at the same time. So this is, you know, once you've taken it out, you're done. The account's closed, you know, unless you have a break in service and you return to federal service. So yeah, you have to realize that's the way it works.
This is such a good deal for so many people, the 20% that are eligible for it.
It's amazing to me how many people have told me how much money they've accumulated over their careers. And these aren't all SES, GS
machines.
So there's a lot of people who do, you know, have the ability to set aside some extra cash, and they're looking for a safe place to keep it because, you know, you don't want to expose it to a lot of risk necessarily. So,
well, imagine if you did this in the 1980s, and as you pointed out on the show the other day, it was paying 13% one year and 11% the next year.
Well, people were watching you closely. You were the one that told us about this back in about, what, 1986?
Probably so, yeah. As somebody just sort of mentioned it in passing, and it sounded silly to me. I thought they had it wrong, but it's amazing, though, that it is new to a new batch of people every time we talk about it.
Well, I think what got the interest going now is that Pension Protection Act of 2006, which allowed people of any salary level, any income level, to transfer money from one retirement account to a Roth IRA type account. And so that kind of opened up the interest on this, because a lot of people would like to put this money someplace where it can grow tax-free, not be subject to the minimum distributions at age 70, and it's even money you can pass on to your heirs if you don't need it during your lifetime. So it has some extra advantages over a traditional IRA.
And you're right, too. People do know how to save and do use this wisely. Mm-hmm. John, who was in Jacksonville, I assume that's Florida, he said that he has over $100,000 in the voluntary contributions.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people have told me that's how much or more they're putting into this account, which I wish I had that laying around.
Right. Bill in Rockville, Maryland, just called in, and he asks, are people who are in the CSRS offset eligible for the voluntary contributions? And the answer is yes, correct?
Yes, they are. The only thing is, if you're under CSRS offset, chances are you may owe a redeposit because you may have had a break in service, so you have to realize you have to pay that back if you want to do this.
Okay, Bill, are you with us?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear that from Tammy?
Yes, I did.
Oh, hi. Hi, Art. I didn't realize you were live on the line.
I just became so. Well, that's good news. This sounds like a great program, and it wasn't clear until now whether the offset employees were eligible, but that's great.
Yep, you're just as eligible as other traditional CSRS employees. The only thing, like I was just telling Mike, if you do owe money back to the retirement fund, if you have taken a refund, that would have to be repaid before you could contribute to this, but you certainly can.
In my case, I didn't, so.
Oh, good.
Or I don't owe. So.
Yep. So that would work.
Great. Well, sounds like the police are coming for you, Bill. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank
you. All right, good. Yeah, again, there's so many permutations to this program. The numbers of people who are eligible for it and the numbers of people who are in it are dwindling as as time goes on. As soon as the FERS program took over, the people who were put in FERS or people who transferred to FERS are not eligible for this voluntary contribution thing.
Right.
And could you again contrast the difference between this and the Thrift Savings Plan? And one thing I think it's important, some people, I believe, or I know they're confused, but some people, I believe, think that you can do one or the other but not both. But in fact, you can
do both. Yeah, they're two separate programs, because this one, the voluntary contributions is through the Office of Personnel Management, which manages your retirement, either civil service or FERS, but in this case we're talking about civil service. The Thrift Savings Plan, that's an independent federal agency. That's your federal Thrift Savings Plan over there and your voluntary contributions over here in a different account. And the main difference between the two would be your TSP account is money that you're going to have coming out of your paycheck. That's the only way you can contribute, and it has to be pre-tax dollars. So you're lowering your taxable income when you're making those contributions. They're growing tax-deferred. You have a range of, you know, five different investment choices plus the life cycle fund, so that's a whole separate program. This would be for money that you have that's not going to be deducted from your taxable income. It's not going to help you lower your tax bill this year. But this would be money that you would otherwise be putting in a savings account at your bank or that you have in a CD at the bank. This is where you're saving after tax dollars, and you can let them grow in here tax deferred. The interest grows tax deferred. And when you retire, you do have to make a decision on this money. With the Thrift Savings Plan, you can leave the money in there after you retire and decide later on. But with voluntary contributions, you'll have to decide when you retire at the latest, you know, what you want to do with this money.
Right. So they're both really great programs. There's nothing quite like it in the private sector in either case. The TSP having that 5% government matching contribution, which is phenomenal and unknown in the private sector, and the voluntary contributions program having this guaranteed for 12-month period interest rate. I want to ask you about how that's set when we come back from a break here.
Okay.
Talking with Tammy Flanagan about the best dates to retire and the voluntary contributions program. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information.
Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
Good cybersecurity is critical for protection of the nation's critical infrastructure, but it's not enough to fully ensure reliable operation of industry. Here's Mark Bregman, the Chief Technology Officer of Symantec.
Security alone is not sufficient. Trying to protect against these threats is not sufficient because security is never perfect. What's necessary is also to ensure resilience, that in the case that an attack is successful, companies can quickly recover.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Now it's third and seven for the Mets. Dobbs pattered to the short side right. Ricky fakes the pitch and keeps, and he bounces it outside at the five, cuts it back inside with a dive, and a touchdown for Navy.
Tradition never graduates, so mark your calendars to spend the day in Annapolis with Navy football Saturday, October 16th. Be there in Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium to cheer on the midshipmen as they take on the SMU Mustangs. Kickoff is at 3:45 p.m. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Enjoy fall in Annapolis and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they hit the gridiron to take on SMU Saturday, October 16th at 3:45. Don't miss out on all the great Navy football action where tradition never graduates. Order tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY, NavySports.com.
Make your plans now to attend Affirm's third annual Turkey Shoot Golf Classic. It's Monday, November 1st at the River Creek Club in Leesburg, Virginia. You'll get to enjoy a beautiful course, and you'll get to network with government and industry tech executives while you compete for prizes. All proceeds go to Affirm's scholarship program. So join them November 1st at the River Creek Club in Leesburg. Register today at Affirm.org. That's Affirm.org.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. We're about to finish up here on the Voluntary Contributions Program and move over to the best date to retire and why, and why it should matter to you. But Tammy, if I could sum up, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Thrift Savings, Voluntary Contributions Program, this is after-tax money that you're contributing. You must sign up through the Office of Personnel Management, and that's an SF, did you say 2604?
2804.
Mm-hmm. Standard form 2804. You get that from OPM. You can download it. You ask to be included in the program. Once they approve it, you make contributions from your own by check or through the government website, mm-hmm. in increments of $25 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you can make them anytime. You can make them twice a week. You can make them twice a year. The limit is 10% of your lifetime federal income, which most of us probably don't have sitting around the house. Mm-hmm. It's open only to people who are under the old civil service retirement system or the old civil service offset system, and it's open only to people who are working. You cannot open an account when you retire.
Only if your retirement's in the process of being finalized.
Exactly, and that's an important point. There are instances when you want to pump money into it right before retirement so you can do other things, including a Roth conversion. Does that about cover it, you think?
You got it. Yeah, you got it. You could teach it now.
That's great. Well, one thing, and listen, when we get those, if you go to a trip to Venice or Paris, I'll be along.
You could be the sidekick. Yeah.
The interest rate for the year 2010 was set at 3.125%. That right. seems to me to be very high considering the deflation and the bad times we've had. Is it?
Yeah, well, it's set at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
and then it doesn't change again until the beginning of the following year. And so, and I'm going to read this right off of OPM's site so I don't get it wrong,
right.
but it's this variable interest rate that applies to these accounts, and this is what made it so popular is because this interest rate went from 3% to this rate that varies, you know, only once a year. So beginning back in 1985, there is a variable rate determined annually by the Department of Treasury. This interest rate for any year equals the overall average yield to the fund from retirement securities during the preceding fiscal year. So they're determining this based on the investments of the Civil Service Trust Fund in government securities over the past year, and that determines the upcoming year's interest rate.
So
if interest rates have fallen this year, then you can expect the 2011 rate to be lower than it was this year. Whereas if interest rates were rising this year, then next year the rate would probably go up. But we won't know until closer to the end of the year when this is announced, usually around November, December.
But I would think that even if the voluntary contributions interest rate is lower next year, as it almost mm-hmm. certainly will be, it'll probably be still be better than any outside CD you can
get. Yeah,
the
0.3% you get at the bank.
Exactly. Yeah, the best one I could find was in Hazard, or Harlan, Kentucky, in eastern Kentucky, and it was 1.7%. That was
wow.
the best CD, and so this voluntary contribution is 3.125%.
Yeah. Okay. You can't find that.
Moving on to the one you invented, and we've lived off of it ever since, and people can't get enough of it, because eventually most people are going to retire from the government. There's some turnover, but people mm-hmm. tend to make government career. So you know that at the end
and
of the day,
even with FERS, we're starting to see people pushing 30 years of service.
Exactly, exactly. And I think particularly too is the economy. As long as the economy is weak, the retirement tsunami that was predicted starting in 1999 is just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People are hanging on,
they
but
are.
At some point, you know, you say, look, I want to retire. And we have, maybe I've made the mistake of saying the best date to retire.
The magic date.
Right.
That was a mistake.
Well, in fact, there are several best dates. The bottom line, it depends on when you want to retire. If you want to retire in the spring, then there's a certain date for that. If you want to retire mid-year. But if you want to, as many people do, retire either in December or January, that's mm-hmm. where the magic date, the critical date comes in. And could you explain what a difference a day makes?
Right. Well, first of all, the reason why, and this is like, some people say, well, I'm retiring December 31st, and I'll say, well, why are you doing that? And they say, well, you know, it's the magic date, but they have no idea why they picked that date. But the reason why people want to retire at the end of the year, and this is traditional, going back to when I worked in the government back in the 1980s, I used to encourage my employees when I'd counsel them for retirement, I'd say, consider, you know, waiting until the end of the leave year, and in that last year that you work, try and save up, you know, your annual leave as much as possible. And some people don't take any that whole last year they work. And so you can accumulate 208 hours at the 8-hour accrual by the end of the year. Plus, you know, most employees have carried over leave, you know, most up to 240 hours. So by the time you get to the end of that year that you're going to retire, you've got the 208 you've accumulated, the 240 that you've carried over. So your leave account balance is 448 hours of annual leave, which you get paid for in a lump sum. And the reason why I used to tell people to try and do that was because, and even this still holds true today, that retirement transition is a 2 to 3 month process at best. And so while you're waiting for your retirement to get finalized and all the money to start coming in for retirement, you need some money to live on. And so OPM will start you off on interim retired status, which is basically partial retirement checks, and you're still not sure what you want to do with the TSP money, and maybe Social Security hasn't started yet. And so this annual leave check is going to be money that comes pretty quickly. It's the last check your agency sends you when they separate you. So having a nice big lump sum really gives you some time to decide what you're going to do and wait for the dust to settle. So it's very common practice for employees to save up their leave, you know, annual leave especially, right prior to retirement so they can take advantage of that. And this year, the leave year, and this is the year that a lot of people are not sure what to do, because the leave year technically ends January 1st, Saturday, January 1st for most federal employees. But your work week normally ends Friday, January or December 31st. So if you retire, close the business Friday, December 31st, which your last day coming to work would be Thursday since Friday's a holiday, but you put on your application, I'm retiring, close the business 12/31/2010, then you will have been considered finished the work week, finished the leave period, that 2 weeks, so you earn your last accrual of leave. You'll get your last full paycheck, you know, 2 weeks later into January, and your lump sum leave check will reflect all of the leave you've accumulated and accrued over that last year of your career and what you carried over from the previous year, and you're not subject to the use or lose deadline until the beginning of the new leave year, which you're already retired by then. That doesn't start till January 2nd.
This is a really big deal. We need to take a break here, but we'll come back and talk with Tammy Flanagan about the best date or dates to retire for you. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems' thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
Today, you're tasked with protecting America's networks from cyber attack, training the next generation of cyber-top guns, keeping sensitive data safe and secure, and getting to your daughter's soccer game by 6. If you're in government, your cyber to-do list is challenging. Turn to Deloitte. We have the people, insight, and experience to help you address pressing cyber issues and help government help America. Insights and opportunities at Deloitte.com/federal.
The landscape for selling products to the government is changing. Are you prepared? Join us November 9th for the 7th Annual Summit on Selling Products to the Government. It's a full day of market intelligence, successful tactics for selling products, insight on leveraging the green trend in government procurement, and more from some of the most experienced professionals in the government market. For more information and to register, go to federaldirect.net and click on the big yellow star.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Tammy Flanagan. She is the world's leading authority on the best date to retire, as well as the Voluntary Contributions Program. We discussed the VC program earlier in the show, and if you missed it or if you want to hear it again, we are archived on our homepage, so you can listen at your leisure, anytime, any place, where you have a computer. Tammy, before the break, we were talking about the carrying over leave, and got an email here from John, who was with the U.S. Army, a civilian in Florida, and he says, I plan to retire 12/31/2011 with 26 years of CSRS offset service. I'll carry over 240 hours of annual leave, and I plan on not taking any leave next year. So he's textbook for what you're suggesting.
Yep, taking advantage of the benefit.
Yeah, and he says he's going to he'll be 62, eligible for Social Security, and have a government pension. He also has $100,000 in the TSP and maybe another $100,000 in other IRAs, both traditional and Roth. My Social Security and pension are pretty much set. My concern is the other $200,000 in TSP and other investments. Not sure what to do with this to get the best tax advantage. Any ideas?
Well, the money in his TSP account is currently tax deferred and can stay that way. So I would suggest just trying to live on his civil service retirement, because it sounds like he's got, you know, pretty close
doing
to 30,
well, yeah,
30 years of service, which might pay his bills every month, and then just take out the money from his IRAs and TSP as needed. And with the TSP, he can do it one of two ways. He can either just set up a monthly check if he does need another source of monthly income, and he'd only pay tax on it as he takes it out, or he can transfer that TSP account, all of it or some of it, to an IRA so that it would be easier to get to when he needs it, just for maybe he wants to take a vacation or put a new roof on the house. You know, it would be available for that purpose. So you'd only pay tax on it as you start to withdraw it. And if he never needs it, you know, he can wait until he's 70 and a half and then just take the minimum distribution out. But eventually, you know, any non-taxed money eventually is going to become taxable. So.
And he mentioned the point you did. He said he's not going to take any annual leave in 2011 for that reason, to save it. And you were saying earlier that in addition to the 240 hours you can carry over, you can, if you do this right, you can carry over an additional 208 hours.
Well, you can earn 208 hours, because in that last year that he's going to be working all throughout 2011, his plan is to retire December 31st next year. So as he moves from 2010 into 2011, he can carry over his 240, but he can also accumulate more leave next year. And so every pay period, he's going to accumulate 8 hours. And so by the end of pay period 26, he's earned 208 on top of the 240, which normally would be a disaster, because on January 1st, you have to use it or lose it. But he's leaving December 31st, so his payroll office will cut him a check for 448 hours. And when they pay you for the unused annual leave, they have to, the payroll office is going to pay it to you at the salary you would have earned if you could have taken the leave. So let's assume that there might be a pay increase, which we can't count on, but let's assume there's a pay increase for all employees that's going to be approved. Then his lump sum annual leave check would be paid at that new pay rate, even though he left right before it took effect. Because the leave payment has to be paid at the rate that you would have earned if you could have used that leave, which would have projected into next year.
So, and somebody in this situation, and everybody around here knows my math is not my strong suit by a long shot, is that the equivalent of 11 weeks of salary?
Just about, yeah.
So imagine getting 11 weeks of pay and getting it at the higher, at the pay raise level. I mean, this, for people, you know, particularly SESers and that, up in the upper GSs, that right. is a huge chunk of change. And you made a good point earlier on. You said that OPM is, at best, will have your full annuity check to you in 2 or 3 months.
Well,
the word we're getting from angry, very angry and frustrated people is that it's much longer than that.
Well,
some are saying 6 months.
Yeah, 6 to 8 months this year. And in fact, OPM apparently has told agencies to prepare employees for a longer wait. For some reason, there was a big buyout early in the year.
Postal Service, yeah.
Postal Service had a buyout and caused extraordinary delays in the processing, which is unfortunate for, you know, longtime government employees who are, you know, waiting for that first check. And it's being delayed. The other thing I wanted to say about the lump sum leave, because I get this question every time I bring it up, and people will say, wouldn't I be better off just to go on leave, you know, just take my leave and get paid for another 11 weeks and not have to come to work? And there's a couple of things. Number one, if you do that, you can only carry over 240. Number two, civilian employees are not technically permitted to do terminal leave, where you just exhaust your leave and then retire. The government would rather pay you for it and replace you and keep getting the work done. And thirdly, if you're under civil service retirement, you're giving up a couple of retirement checks by doing that. And many civil service retirement checks are equivalent to 60, 70, sometimes 80% of your pay. So why would you want to give up the lump sum check to only get 20% difference? So I would say take the lump sum payment. It's going to be the only way you have to go anyway, and in most cases it's more advantageous to do it that way.
Yeah, Bill with the IRS says, silly question on the subject, is best day to retire as annually determined by your guest the last day you are on the payroll or the first day of your retirement? A wrong turn here could be financially catastrophic. Thanks, Bill. So you're saying this year it's December 31st?
Yeah, when you're filling out your application for retirement, there's, you know, the civil service or the FERS retirement application. Right on the first page, it's going to say date of separation. This is your effective date of retirement, and you're going to be considered retired close business that day. So if you put down December 31st, you're still considered an employee December 31st. You would be considered an annuitant January 1st. And if you made your retirement, let's say, effective January 1st, which some people want to do this year because it's a Saturday and it's technically the end of the leave period, you wouldn't become an annuitant under civil service until January 2nd. Under FERS, you wouldn't become an annuitant until February 1st. So a FERS employee would never want to make their retirement effective the first of the month because they don't have a grace period to go out the first, second, or third day of the month and still get a retirement check for that month. So under FERS, we always say, you know, make your retirement the last day of the month, if at all possible, and never do it the first, second, or third day of the month because you'd lose a whole month of retirement benefit. So December 31st this year and next year would be in my opinion, the best date to retire for both SERS and FERS.
Okay, and December 31st is a holiday because of New Year's.
Right, right. Since the holiday falls on Saturday, the federal holiday would be Friday, December 31st.
Okay, so this is the perfect storm. A short break here. Be right back talking with Tammy Flanagan about the best dates to retire and why.
Okay, thanks.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
How has the Chief Information Officer role evolved over the last decade? What are the key challenges facing both private and public sector CIOs? And what does the future hold for those leading information technology efforts? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Harvey Coppell, Executive Director of the Center for CIO Leadership. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
Attention AFGE members, did you know you have free access to all federal government job listings at your fingertips? Through AFGE's partnership with AVIEW Technologies, you can view all available jobs, apply online, and be notified when a position of interest to you becomes available. View your application progress online 24/7. You'll even get information to make you a better job applicant. Simplify your next career move with AVIEW Technologies. Log on today and check out current job openings at avuecentral.com. That's avuecentral.com.
Companies win federal contracts every day. Your business should be one of them. Get the latest on the top federal contracting opportunities for 2011 at Input's Fed Focus event. Fed Focus is the government contracting community's premier event that showcases the outlook for defense and civilian markets, data center consolidation trends, and more. Join Input on November 4th at the Fairview Park Marriott in Falls Church, Virginia, and lead your business to success. Register at fedfocus2011.input.com or call Input Events at 703-707-3698.
We're in the home stretch here on Your Turn. We've been talking with Tammy Flanagan. She's with the National Institutes of Transition Planning and an expert in the best day to retire. And if you've been listening to the show, you know it's very important, particularly if you plan to retire at the end of the year. A difference, retiring on the wrong date, the difference between December 31st and January 1st, could cost you a lot of money and for a variety of reasons. Tammy, normally the best days to retire, as you say, it's always the 31st or the last day of the month for people under FERS.
Right.
But sometimes for CSRS, it is the first, second, or third. But this year, for 2010 and for, you say, 2011, the best date for both groups is the December 31st?
That's right. This year it falls on a Friday. Next year, December 31st falls on a Saturday. And since you're not going to become an annuitant until January 1st, it really wouldn't matter next year whether you made your retirement effective the 30th or the 31st. So may as well take advantage of getting one more day of service credit by making it effective on the 31st.
It's going to be wonderful explaining this to people because normally we have to go through all of this, who struck John, and then somebody says, well, what about January the 4th?
But what about next year? year after that is
right.
January the 12th, and you have to go out by the 3rd, so we'll have our hands full that year, too.
Maybe we can get in another line of work by then. But for now, it's going to be December 31st, and I'm going to say Tammy says it, and that's it. It's gospel. Now, a lot of people want to retire at the end of the year, and if they do, that December 31st date is critical. It makes a big financial difference to them. But if they don't want to retire, if they want to retire in June or in May or something like that, there are best dates for all of those cutoff periods, aren't there?
Yeah, it's pretty easy if you're under FERS because, like I said, you're always going to become an annuitant. This is for voluntary retirements. If you're going out disability or if you've under a RIF situation, these rules don't apply. But if you're voluntarily choosing your retirement date, under FERS, you want to retire the last day of the month only because you're going to become an annuitant the next day. So, for instance, if you picked June 15th, to retire, you can certainly retire that date, but you're going to have to realize that you're going to be paid your salary only through June 15th, and your first retirement check is going to be the month of July, so therefore you get no compensation for June 16th through the 30th. So why not just wait till the end of June, get paid your salary for the whole month of June, and then become an annuitant July 1st anyway? So that's why we always say under FERS, you know, the last day of the month. And for CSRS employees, under a quirk in the law that occurred, I don't know how many years ago, they can retire not only the last day of the month, but also the first 3 days of any month. So they can go out the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of July, the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of October, and they would still get a retirement check for the remainder of that current month. So they wouldn't have to wait, you know, skip a month to get their first check. So with civil service employees, sometimes that extra 3 days can get you to the end of a week or the end of a pay period. So you always want to look at the calendar to see if that's going to benefit you to wait for those first 3 days if you're going out under CSRS or CSRS offset.
Right, and things have changed. We need to remind people, if you're planning to retire anytime in the near future, plan on going with an interim check of 80% or less of what you had been expecting for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, maybe even longer because of the backlog. So
yeah, retirement
need to have money
is still
saved
processed, pretty much a manual process. It's somebody sitting there with a stack of papers that represents your career, going page by page and validating and verifying and documenting. So it's a very tedious, time-consuming process until they can get that electronic processing system up and running, which is very difficult.
Easier said than done, because especially if you've had a long career and you've jumped around to different agencies, and the size of the paperwork is different. So it is. I've seen those claims examiners in action, and I would not want to do it.
I had a postal worker last year tell me that he had to retire before October 1st, and I was like, well, why is that so important? And he says, well, he was 64 years old, been delivering mail for 40 years. And he said that every year, right around October 1st, is when all those catalogs start coming. And he said he was not gonna go one more holiday season with all those catalogs in his leather sack.
So Sears Roebuck did him in.
He wasn't gonna wait till December 31st that year.
Yeah.
So
well, it's
everybody
true.
Has their own reasons.
It's true. And Tammy, you have written extensively, if people want more on this, you've written a lot about the best dates to retire for government executive and for NITP. Where can people find those real quickly?
Yeah, the easiest place would be to go to NITP's website, because we have links to the four-year benefit show and also to my GovExec column on NITPINC.com.
Okay, we'll put a link to that on our webpage, too. Thank you, Tammy Flanagan, for being with us, getting those two very important things straightened out, the voluntary contributions and the best dates to retire. So have a good week. We'll see you here next Wednesday.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Cisco is the official sponsor of FederalNewsRadio.com. The Cisco Center at FederalNewsRadio.com is your resource for data center security and collaboration strategy and solutions.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with the spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. Grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory. Even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body.
get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Over the years, some lawmakers have pushed the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board to consider adding mutual funds to the thrift.